Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex. We're going to have an interview between Alex Jones and the founder of the Daily Caller, Tucker Carlson. This is a never-before-seen interview going to be coming up in the very next segment. Don't miss this. This is a great interview on a wide variety of topics. But just before the break, we were talking about what's going on at CPAC and people's reactions to the different speeches that have been made there. Of course, we have Marco Rubio, John McCain, John Bolton, Lindsey Graham making the case for even more intervention than we see going on from Barack Obama. They think he's weak and isolationist, and we want to see what that's, how that's going to be pushed back from Rand Paul. Hopefully he'll have some a different opinion about that today. But we wanted to get to the opinion of people who have been watching these speeches. Hugo, you were saying that you had been to CPAC in the past. And what do you think about this year, though? Have you watched any of the speeches?
It's Julio, David. Yeah, watching some of the speeches, for the most part, it seems like they are towing the neocon party line with mm-hmm. some of their speeches. There are very few, any liberty-minded speeches given at CPAC. I mean, even Mike Lee's speech, I saw a bit of it today, seemed more towards a party line than a real liberty-minded speech. You know, Donald Trump, you hear him speak, and this man, if you follow his money, he's donated to the Democratic Party in the past, including money to Rahm Emanuel here in Chicago. So I really hope that Rand Paul really shines. If you look at the straw poll results from years past with Ron Paul winning the last few years, when I covered it in 2012, literally CPAC did their best to try to squash the libertarian revolution that was going on at that time,
right,
with momentum Ron Paul was gaining.
I'm not sure how
it is this year, but with the speeches you can tell they're trying to toe the party line. But from what I observed at CPAC, what the real impact for a libertarian minded person going there is to talk with the people. For the most part, the people at CPAC, these conservatives that, you know, watch Fox News daily, they're good people. They're decent people, but they're being strayed in the wrong direction, being strayed towards that neocon line. But the libertarian-minded people, from what I saw, have done a great job in talking with the people, having civil debates, getting people to discuss NDAA from when I was there in 2012. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this year they're talking about the IRS, and they're talking about, you know, intervention, and they're talking about the Federal Reserve, and, you know,
and the NSA.
That's where the impact of CPAC comes, exactly. And the NSA, and many more topics, even GMOs. I know at CPAC they're having a panel about can libertarians and conservatives get along? So they're trying to sway the minds of those people at CPAC, and I'm pretty sure they're going to say, you know, they could get along, but they have to go towards a conservative mind.
Well, you know, if they're going to take the traditional party line of intervention abroad, foreign wars, and metaphorical wars here at home, a war on drugs, the various wars that we've had here, the war of terror, if they're going to take these hard lines to create a police state here at home and an interventionist military everywhere around the world, that's a losing strategy. That's why the Republican Party is shrinking. If they're going to grow this party, they're going to have to take the moral high road. They're going to have to transcend these positions. But so far, unfortunately, I've seen even a lot of the newcomers, like I point out, Marco Rubio is now aligning himself with the old John McCain faction, and, you know, who's always, this is the guy, John McCain is the guy that goes to every conflict as it's beginning around the world. So you see him meeting with Al-Qaeda in Syria, then you see him meeting with neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. Does that tell us that he's a made man of the New World Order or what? I mean, this is a guy, they picked someone, obviously they wanted Obama in because they take a young, attractive black man and put him up against the oldest, crustiest white man they can find who's really an angry person. But clearly he was their candidate. We're going to be right back with a groundbreaking interview between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson of the Daily Caller. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this.
Out. Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we have a very special treat for you. You know, Tucker Carlson was in studio and had an extensive interview with Alex Jones, but there was a much more extensive interview between the two of them that is we're going to air now for the very first time. And this is going to touch on things like the dictatorial moves of Obama, the attack on the Second Amendment, and it's going to talk about September 11th. You're going to want to see this. Here's that report.
Being a rugged all-American like Vladimir Putin, Tucker Carlson, host of Fox News and the owner of DailyCaller.com, is down here in Texas to go wild boar hunting. And while he was in town, he graciously agreed to come in to the InfoWars studios to talk to us today. And so here he is in the flesh. But first, I want to play a clip of the great things he has to say about me.
Alex Jones.
Hey, he's more popular than you are.
He sure, certainly is.
I set my alarm to wake up to
I'll tell you what, I don't want the Alex Jones people in my house.
Now, Tucker, that was 4 years ago, and I've always, you know, admired a lot of the work you've done, but I really appreciate you coming down to visit.
Hey, oh, are you kidding? I was having breakfast with a friend of mine in the media business about 3 months ago who mentioned your name. I said, Alex Jones? I said, yeah, he's a good guy. You should go meet him. And I thought, I'd love to. So I was going to be in Austin, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, what did you expect when you came in here?
I expected an armed compound, and that's exactly what I found. We're deep. For those who don't know where we are, we're about 150 feet below the surface of the Texas prairie here in a steel-reinforced silo. This was an ICBM missile silo at one point, wasn't it?
It was, but I mean, you noticed, though, that you had to hit Coke or Pepsi, and then that's when the door opened, and then you came down. We're only about six floors under the ground, though.
Awesome.
Do you like 50-caliber rifles?
I love one. I don't have one, but I would love a Barrett. I've always wanted one. I'm a gun guy for sure.
Next time you're in town, we'll go out and go shooting them.
I would love that.
I've taken Dave Mustaine out. I've taken Mike Judge out. A lot of folks shooting the 50s.
Well, for those who aren't here, you just showed me an I-beam, a steel I-beam, a construction beam with holes that big from the 50 cal. It's so impressive.
We do have 50 cals. We're not actually underground, though. We're on ground level.
Yeah, you are, sadly.
Actually, we have paintings of Mao and Lenin hanging on the walls. And he loved them.
I did. They were done up with glitter and stuff. No, I'm really glad to be here. And as to that tape, that was 4 years ago during the Iowa caucuses, and I was in 2.5 years or something like that, and this guy comes up to me with a microphone, starts asking me, was 9/11 an inside job? And I said to him, I'm as skeptical about the U.S. government as anybody, and I'm also very open-minded, willing to believe anything. I just don't think there's any evidence of that. And he just got in my face and wouldn't back off.
No, he followed you for 7 minutes, so finally you said that. But, I mean, I thought it was entertaining, so.
It was pretty funny. Adam Kokesh, who I think is in jail now. But anyway, I enjoyed the exchange.
Well, he finally got out, and he does have a lot of courage for the Second Amendment. But I do have a few 9/11 questions, but that's at the end. Let's come back to those if we can.
Great.
You are a pioneer in mainstream media that went into alternative media and has been very, very successful and covering a lot of libertarian, freedom-based news. I wouldn't call it left or right. Where do you think the media landscape is right now, and are we seeing the death of the state-run dinosaur media?
There's no question about it. I mean, and I should say I'm hardly a visionary. I only got into it because I got fired from dinosaur media. I was at MSNBC. The station turned pretty dramatically left. As you know, I didn't fit in. They canned me. I was unemployed with four kids, and I was at dinner with a college roommate of mine, and we were talking about what do we do next with our lives, and let's start something. So we did, and it seemed obvious. Digital is clearly the future. How soon the future will get here is an open question. A lot of people still get their news from broadcast television, from newspapers, but clearly that's changing. I would think 10 years from now, some of the thought leaders that, I mean, I don't think there will be an NBC Nightly News 10 years from now. I don't think there will be a Washington Post. That's all pretty obvious.
I think 5 years from now there'll be.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
Who is the original alternative media? Somebody like Matt Drudge?
Drudge certainly was. I was there. I knew Drudge right at the beginning in 97, 98 when he first started, and everyone mocked him. And I'll admit, because I'm not a visionary, I kind of mocked him too, though I thought he was ballsy, which I always have admired in anybody. Anyone who's brave, even if I disagree, I admire. And he was willing to give the finger to everybody who had power at the time. I remember going to a speech he gave at the National Press Club in 98. And I was in the press pit, all these reporters covering this, and he basically said, you're all going away. You'll all be unemployed. You're obsolete, and I am the future. And people scoffed, and I kind of scoffed because the herd instinct takes over, but then part of me was thinking, you know, he's probably right. And, of course, he was right.
All I knew as a radio talk show host back in 1996, when I was first on local radio, is I went to Drudge, yeah. And that's where I could see all the interesting stories
exactly. Every
day for my radio show, and I could visit 15 other websites and not get half as much interesting stuff. I think he just has a pulse for not what he thinks is interesting, but what the public's going to think is interesting.
Totally right. I mean, at the core, look, the people who succeed are talented, by and large. It's one thing, you know, it's pretty easy to make a splash. You can get famous. It doesn't take that much. But to endure, to keep a successful career going, you've got to be talented. And I think Drudge is really talented. He listens to his own internal soundtrack.
Well, and he's also ideologically really is a patriot liberty guy.
He really, totally.
Yeah, so that's the driving force.
And by the way, he was on this whole surveillance question really early. And people dismissed him as paranoid. You know, they're watching you. There are cameras everywhere.
They're going to have clones. They're
exactly.
All of it, yeah.
And of course, it turns out a lot of it's true. You know, like all the people in the 23 years I've been in the media, every week I get a letter usually written in crayon on the outside of the envelope saying, they're watching me. And I'm always like, this guy's mentally ill. Then it turns out they're right.
Well, that was my next point, is that as radical as a lot of the things I cover are, unfortunately, so much of it's now turning out to be true. I think despite all my, you know, political warts or whatever, that's why my show gets bigger and bigger exponentially, is because people are really losing confidence in the system. And I think the fall of Piers Morgan, because he never really had ratings to begin with, but he began to just fall from the beginning, shows a rejection of globalism, a rejection of elitism, and really some of that East Coast snobby anti-liberty garbage. What is your take on Piers Morgan? Because he is truly loathed by left, right, and center.
Well, I agree with that completely. I mean, I always feel sorry. I don't care if Satan got fired. I would feel bad for him, having been a married man who got fired. So I never take pleasure in the firing of other people. However, he was almost uniquely annoying in that he's a foreigner, for one thing. For another, he had this kind of supercilious tone, like, you're just not as smart as I am, that did make you kind of want to, you know, make people angry. And he didn't understand America. I mean, he just, you know, he thought our attachment to guns was like compensating for, you know, lack of male virility or something. He didn't understand it's baked into the cake that is this country. The right to bear arms is the linchpin of our freedoms. Without that, you know, you really don't have.
The revolution started when they came to take the guns.
Literally. So if you don't understand the Second Amendment, and maybe you're uncomfortable with it, maybe you don't like guns personally. I happen to like guns personally, and I like to hunt. But even if you don't, you recognize, if you were born in this country, that it's like not this random thing the founders kind of threw in there. It's the Second Amendment, number two, right after freedom of speech. There's a reason.
Well, speaking of that, we see talk of ending net neutrality, talk of Internet IDs, taxation. We see big dinosaur media promoting it, openly wanting to shut down their competition, DrudgeReport.com, DailyCaller.com, WorldNetDaily.com, InfoWars.com. I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle, but what do you think overall will be the establishment's response to Congress having lower than a 10% approval rating and all of their credibility draining away? The New York Times saying, as you know, a few months ago, we don't have any credibility. We can't set the agenda. Nobody listens to us anymore.
That's right. Well, I mean, there's a free-for-all, basically, right now. The public look to for guidance and to make sense of the news are discredited. Basically, every institution is discredited. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I'm not really sure I want to live in a country where no one has credibility, but that's kind of where we are right now, and that's why you're seeing this kind of chaotic political environment. I would say one thing about the Congress and the president. The Congress has a terrible, you know, 10%. The president is literally less popular than the crackhead mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford.
Yes.
Literally. But they still control the levers of power. So the president still runs the executive branch. Congress still gets to make the laws, raise the revenue. They can still absolutely wreck your life if they want to. So they have no popularity, they have no moral authority, but they retain massive amounts of power. It's a weird, weird situation.
And it's happened a lot throughout history. Seeing Obama, undoubtedly, constitutional scholars left, right, agree. If you disagree, tell me why. Power grab on the power plants, on the military, saying NATO's over our military, on Obamacare, on borders, on immigration. Truly, I'm not saying he is a dictator. I'm saying he's turning the office of the presidency into a unitary executive dictator 2.0.
Well, that's always the hope of every president. I mean, people look, executives want more power. You know, the guy in charge doesn't want to have to deal with, like, inconvenient things like other people's opinions. And that's why we have a three-part system where you have the judiciary, you know, the courts, you have the legislative branch of the Congress, and then the president has to deal with those two branches. What I'm amazed by is how unwilling Congress has been to rein in the president. He's basically said to them, I don't care about you. I'm going to write my own laws. You would think they would stand up as one and say, whoa, we reserve the right to write the laws. Like, that's what the Constitution says. There's a reason for that. And instead, they're so very passive. The Democrats are passive because it's their party and they will do whatever the president asks. But Republicans have been weirdly passive on that, and I'm not really sure why.
Well, I think it's because you've got a lot of offshore interests that basically have diplomatic immunity, and they don't need a free market. They can just control government and get the corporate welfare and the insider deals and create a monopoly system. I think that's really what the left and right haven't woken up to, is that more and more it's a rigged game.
Well, to some extent, it is. I mean, look, people don't want competition if they can get away with it. If I could pass a law requiring everyone to read the Daily Caller every day, you know, I like to think I wouldn't pass the law, but I'd be sorely tempted. That's why the insurance companies got into Obamacare at the very beginning. In exchange for losing their freedom, they gained a captive market. You know, the mandate, you know, the requirement to buy health insurance insured them lots of new customers. So it is, to that extent, it is a rigged game.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more of that interview between Tucker Carlson of the Daily Caller and Alex Jones. An explosive interview. I loved what he said about the passivity of Congress. Why are they allowing Obama to be a dictator? What's up with that? He's asking the right kinds of questions. We'll be right back with more of that interview. Stay tuned.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Hi, folks. Alex Jones here with some important information. I want to tell you about Matt Redhawk and his team of patriots over at My Patriot Supply. Several years ago, Matt was sitting in his two-bedroom apartment, frustrated with the direction this country was headed and the charlatans willing to sell us out for a quick buck. Deciding to take action, a company run by patriots for patriots was born. My Patriot Supply has never taken a loan or accepted outside funding. They now operate two distribution facilities and employ over 50 hardworking American men and women. It is rare to find companies who practice what they preach. And that's why I stock my pantry with high-quality storable foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today for special offers on emergency food storage or call their preparedness specialist at 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Do business with someone who shares your values. MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here live in studio. Now, we have a taped interview that we've been playing between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson, commentator and founder of the Daily Caller. an amazing interview. We're going to go right back to that, but I just want to point out that Paul Joseph Watson has a story up on Drudge linked. Homeland Security is using intercepted emails to question a woman about her sex life. Absolutely amazing. But let's go back to that interview. We'll be right back with more news. But this is an interview between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson.
Let me ask you this question, looking out into the future. What do you see happening as the huge awakening takes place, and even the Financial Times of London says the whole world is going libertarian, getting past the political labels, just saying we want freedom, we want more individual liberty across the board, versus the authoritarian consolidation where it doesn't matter that we're awake to them, they're still in power. How do those two forces collide?
Well, I wish that were true. I mean, I've always been on the libertarian side. I have libertarian instincts. I think libertarians overstate the degree to which people yearn for liberty. Most people yearn instead for security, and they're willing to trade liberty for it. And I wish that weren't true, but it seems like human nature for most people moves in that direction. I think I'm an anomaly. I would rather take care of myself. I would rather have freedom than security. I'm willing to take risks in exchange for the ability to make my own decisions, but most people, it seems like, aren't. I feel like we're moving away from that.
So you don't think there's an awakening happening?
I think there's a great dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. I think people are disgusted with their leaders, but I don't see people jumping up and saying, I want to take responsibility for my own life. You know what? I don't want your Medicare, actually. I'm happy to buy my own health insurance. I'm happy.
No, I see the point you're making is that people can claim that there's a rise in libertarianism in polls. People will say, they'll say that they identify like that, but that's not actually what.
Well, exactly. So libertarianism has two parts. The first part is I get to do whatever I want, and the second part is you get to do whatever you want as long as we don't hurt each other.
Yeah.
People buy into the first one completely. I want to smoke my weed. I want to marry whoever I want. That's fine. They're all about that. They're very libertarian when it comes to them and their choices. They're not libertarian when it comes to other people's choices. So in order to be libertarian, you embrace your freedom, but you also embrace restraint. I could control what you do, but I'm not going to. I choose not to control you. And most people are unwilling to resist the temptation to control other people. And that's just human nature, but it's very distressing. And libertarians have to be honest about that.
So where do you see it going, then? The future of the media, government?
Look internationally. I am amazed by the number of countries. And look, the bottom line is I don't know. I'm just a journalist. I'm not any kind of prophet. But internationally, I'm very struck by the move from democracy and freedom toward reverting back to authoritarian systems. Look at Venezuela, for example, which was sort of a, you know, emerging kind of free market world. Now we're back to Chavez, and he's gone, but Chavezism. Look at Nicaragua. It was communist. They had a brief experiment with liberal democracy under Violeta Chamorro. Daniel Ortega, the head of the Sandinista Party, is president again. You're seeing this same pattern replayed. Let me ask you one quick question. 15 years ago, 12 years ago, when Bush said, we're going to bring democracy to the world needs democracy. How many people believe that still? How many people would like to see democracy in Saudi Arabia or Jordan? Nobody would. We're actually happy that they have authoritarian governments. We don't want their people to vote and be free because it would be against our interests.
I guess you do have a point, is that a lot of people say I'm libertarian and there's an awakening and a dissatisfaction with government, but it's almost like a double-minded paradox, because then people are more accepting of Big Brother, of police state, of authoritarianism than ever.
It's boiling the frog. You know, you throw the frog into boiling water, he jumps out. If you turn it up slowly, he doesn't notice until it's too late. I'm not an apocalyptic guy at all, but I am really bothered by the willingness of most people to accept these restrictions on their freedom in the name of security. I mean, I wish I could. I think I'm just speaking for myself when I say I'm happy to take the risk, you know, in exchange for, like, keeping my shoes on at the airport. I'm really bothered by that.
Well, history's shown when you give up liberty, you don't get security, you get oppression and tyranny, you become a slave.
You don't get it back. Yeah, and I try not to, I don't want to be like one of these guys or, you know, overstating things, but I am really bothered by it.
Well, we are definitely going into a police state, and like you said, it's a movement worldwide. Speaking of attempts to censor the press, the Pentagon announced 3 months ago, I don't know if you saw this report, Drudge carried our report on it, but it was just their hour-long press conference, where the Undersecretary of Defense sat up there and said, we've lost the hearts and minds of the American people. They don't believe the government and the media anymore. So our answer is we're going to start telling the truth by going out and engaging blogs and alternative media domestically.
We can no longer rely on relationships with a handful of journalists. A new blogger might end up being more influential than traditional outlets in some cases. If we aren't talking to him or her, we are missing a potential opportunity to inform the American people. And we cannot hide our bad news stories. Bad news gets out one way or the other, and we must come to terms with telling the bad stories as well as the good. When bad things happen, the American people should hear it from us, not as a scoop on the Drudge Report.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more thought-provoking, insightful discussion between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. Don't miss it. Stay tuned.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's time to get your green on with the great green sale from Freeze Dry Guy. Now through St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, cases of delicious freeze-dried vegetables, green beans, and green peas are now on sale at veteran-owned freezedryguy.com. You don't need to be Irish to feel like you have pots of gold with a healthy supply of these delicious, nutritious green vegetables. They're perfect for your emergency preparedness needs or outdoor activities from camping to RV travel. Green beans and green peas, easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and now easier than ever to buy. How about some green backs in your wallet or purse just for ordering? Act now, and Freeze Dry Guy will give you $25 in survival bucks for every case you purchase by St. Paddy's Day. So get your green on now, veggie lovers. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm here live in the studio. I'm David Knight, and we've been playing parts of the amazing interview between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. They were just talking about the trade-off between liberty and security. How about the biggest trade-off between liberty and security? 9/11. Here it comes.
Well, that sounds really creepy. You're not supposed to have domestic propaganda, but that same year, they removed the blocks on that. I know Daily Caller covered that. And then now, on top of all that, we have these moves in your big investigation at dailycaller.com on media matters and these memos,
right,
where, sure, nobody reads them except for the talking points from MSNBC, but still they meet weekly with the White House, and they have things like infiltrate and bring down media. It sounds like Cass Sunstein on steroids. Talk about that investigation and talk about that whole constellation of government's answer to the alternative media is to try to infiltrate it like it's some foreign government.
Exactly, and to try to control it. I mean, I think it's scary because in the end, what separates you from the federal government is they have a monopoly on the use of force. They can force you to do things. You can't force the federal government to do anything. You're a citizen. They can force you to do anything they want. And so it's an asymmetrical contest here. They have all the power, which is why you don't want them interfering in the media. When I was a kid, my dad ran something called the Voice of America in Washington, which was our big radio station to the rest of the world, mostly to the Soviet Union. And in their charter, like the first sentence was, you cannot broadcast this to the United States because it's a government news organization, and there's something immoral about imposing it on our own people because that would be propaganda. And whatever you think of Voice of America, they kept to that. Like, they broadcast outward. This was for everyone else, but not for us. It's the same with NSA. I remember when I was a kid in Washington, people would always say the NSA is, you know, watching everything, but they're not watching us because they can't. It's against their charter. The second that changed, you know, there were major consequences.
And I've talked to people like Wayne Metz and others who were mid-level there. He said, no, we, until even the mid-90s, did not watch people domestically.
Exactly.
Because the Congress wouldn't let them do that because they knew they'd end up being watched. Then they could be blackmailed.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I remember when the Patriot Act passed, people saying, this is really scary. And I have to say, I'm always happy to admit my many shortcomings. I remember thinking, yeah, it seems a little hysterical. Like, really, is there anything super scary in there? You know, a lot of it was probably necessary, but allowing the NSA and CIA and intelligence agencies that have been traditionally focused by law outward to focus inward, you know, I think that was a very unwise decision.
Oh, it's going to be used politically, just like the IRS being used on the Tea Party and pro-life groups, and then they don't even get in trouble because it's the fox watching the hen house with Eric Holder. If Obama doesn't get in some type of censure or trouble, it sets the precedent. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like 10 years.
Well, what was so striking was when that came out, this, I think of myself as a completely mainstream person. When that came out, my instinct was outrage. I can't believe that the NSA has the ability to read all of my emails, capture all my Google searches, listen to my phone calls if it chooses, my texts. The first thing, I'll never forget this, was the Republican leadership, not all the Republicans in Congress, but the leadership, you know, Boehner, Cantor, Mike Rogers, head of the Intel Committee, they instantly went to the president's aide. And I remember thinking, well, who represents me? You know?
So it's a big club, as George Carlin would say, and we ain't in it.
No.
And they're destroying the rest of the economy and our future at the expense of the general welfare for their club to stay intact when they're not good managers. I mean, I don't like authoritarianism, but when it's bad authoritarianism, it's really bad. I mean, don't you agree with that?
I'm agreeing with everything you say. It's kind of freaking me out. I don't know if I can't believe I'm like on the set with Alex.
All right, well, we're going to get to some things you don't agree with in a minute, but let me ask you this.
Yes, I do agree with you very much.
CPAC coming up. This is the big battle. Every libertarian Republican I talk to, which is the vast majority, at least here in Texas, but I travel the country, they're sick of the Republican blue bloods not going after Obama on Fast and Furious and Solandra and Benghazi and, you know, everything else, the guns. They know Obama could be destroyed on Obamacare. Why isn't there a repeal? What's going to happen in the Republican Party if they continue to join with the Democrats to try to wall off and demonize the Tea Party when the Tea Party really is the Americana revolution, in my view, that could save this country?
Well, there are a couple things going on. One, I think Republican leadership fears, and they may be right, that the average person, even the average Republican voter, likes parts of Obamacare, likes the, you know, no pre-existing conditions rule, which I think is insane personally, but I'm in a small minority of that. Most people do like it, so they're afraid that if they repeal it, they'll take the blame. Two, I think the Tea Party, they understand the Tea Party put them there. There would be no Republican leadership if it weren't for the Tea Party in 2010. But the problem with the Tea Party is there's no leadership of the Tea Party. So it's a bunch of different groups, some of which are legitimate. Others are just fundraising operations to enrich the people running them. It's the same old story. And without that cohesion, without that leadership, without a clear template for what they believe, a statement of belief, they're not as effective.
I think it's the fact that it's not controlled, but its basic ideas are Bill of Rights, Constitution.
Right.
That's what scares the establishment, because it's like the establishment is a bacterial infection and the Tea Party is the antibiotic. It's not perfect,
right,
and it's got side effects, but it's going to have an effect.
Well, it's had a huge effect. The one thing the Tea Party's been really good, effective at politically is beating people in primaries. Like, they can do that. We were driving through Austin yesterday, and I saw these two guys with a Gadsden flag and a Defeat John Cornyn sign. you know, if you're Cornyn, that really worries you. I mean, they're good at that. They beat Lugar. I mean, they've knocked off a bunch of established Republicans. And so they do have the attention of Republican leadership. But the problem is, it's anybody can jump up and say, I'm part of the Tea Party, and it's hard to know exactly.
Sure, but I mean, look at Ted Cruz, look at
right.
Rand Paul. I mean, they would have passed their gun control probably without them fighting for us.
100%. Oh, they were.
Oh, so the Tea Party saved us.
Oh, I could not agree more on that. The gun control thing, by the way, all of whom have armed bodyguards wanted to strip your ability to defend yourself and your family while they remain safe, again, with their taxpayer-funded armed bodyguards. They would have sold us down the river in a second on guns, for sure, if it weren't for the Tea Party. So, amen, I'm totally.
So, again, I'm not romanticizing the Tea Party, and I know it's a diverse group, but the establishment's attacking it. Every time they leak some Joe Biden speech, he's worried about it. The Republicans are worried about it. You know, they tell the Tea Party, play nice, don't run against us while they're raising money with the Trade Federation and groups.
I agree.
And so the Tea Party needs to attack and needs to take over the Republican Party, and then people will see it as a real Americana populist-type movement. And MSNBC's failed trying to say they're all racist. I mean, I just don't see it working anymore.
Racist? I never understood that part. I mean, you maybe don't agree with the Tea Party, but racist? Where did that even come from? It was like a non sequitur.
You're listening to racist? Tucker Carlson never, talking to Alex
I really
Jones.
Appreciate
this
you giving us a little time. Let's get into some stuff we may disagree about.
All right.
Here at the end. Look. The mainstream media distorted what I had to say about 9/11. All I said was the hijackers were trained at bases in Saudi Arabia. They were allowed in, even though they were on the terrorist list. There was a clear, from my research, NORAD stand down.
There was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Building 7, which I'm going to show you a video of here in a moment, fell in its own footprint. They said they're bringing down Building 7. I have cops saying it, so it doesn't hurt other buildings. Why not just be honest about it? I'm not saying George Bush and Cheney had plungers, you know, in there. I'm saying elements in different groups, clearly, just like they're using al-Qaeda against Syria right now, just like it came out about the Olympics. I'm sure you've seen that Oscar-winning documentary narrated by Michael Douglas, where they later admit at the end of the movie that, oh, but basically the Germans were working with the terrorists and basically let them attack as a pretext to get more funding at the Olympics back in the 70s. All I'm saying is if Gulf of Tonkin was staged, if Cy Hirsch says that the bin Laden raid is 100% fake and there's huge evidence, and I've talked to Navy SEALs' families who said that their sons said it was not real, they were going to kill some body double of bin Laden. I mean, when a government's been caught lying this much, I'm not saying I know all the answers. And I know it's abhorrent and sounds horrible. I don't want to believe it either. But all I'm saying is we need to investigate all of these events and not just buy what government says at face value.
Well, I guess the last sentence don't buy what government says at face value. Of course. I mean, absolutely. And I think we have a right to know much more than we do know about everything that government does. By the way, I'd also say I'm deeply skeptical of what large organizations do, not just government. I think bureaucracy creates corruption and deception by its nature. And I'm very skeptical of the claims made by any big organization, any big organization. I just don't think that, A, you're taking into account the profound incompetence of bureaucracies. Like, a lot of things we think are part of a conspiracy are just, like, dumb moves that are made accidentally. And, B, I think that if there was a mass conspiracy to kill Americans on the part of the U.S. government, that would require so many people's involvement that at least one of them would have come forward, and nobody has. So I just don't see, I see a lot of questions. I don't see any evidence of a U.S. conspiracy.
Sybil Edmonds was an FBI translator, and she was working up until 9/11. She said she heard elements of the CIA communicating with al-Qaeda up until 9/11.
I'm not the only one who knows about this. Too many people know about this. The fraudulent 9/11 commissioners, every single one of them knows about my case and the details and the names and all the specifics. Several people within the United States Congress do know. Everybody in the FBI involved, they know. Everyone in Department of Justice, they know.
Colonel Schaefer, who I know you know, he contributes on Fox some, he said they could have killed bin Laden twice in the month before, yes. Or ordered not to. So I'm saying bare minimum, they want Al-Qaeda running around out there because it's a way to take our liberties here at home. Who can deny that they've used 9/11 to take a lot of liberties and now say, oh, our main mission isn't Al-Qaeda, it's the Tea Party, it's gun owners, it's returning veterans?
I don't think there's any question that crises are used by those in power always and everywhere from the beginning of time till present to increase their power, for sure. Either intentionally or unwittingly. I think a lot of these people have, you know, clean intentions, but that's just the nature of power. It concentrates more power to itself, of course. I just don't believe that anybody at high levels of the U.S. government in 2001 allowed 9/11 on purpose. I don't think they have a lot of things to be scared about already, and I think that's a waste of time to go down that path. If you're looking for conspiracies, look at immigration, where the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are conspiring to bring in low-wage workers to depress American wages.
That's on record.
Exactly. That's a conspiracy. It's a real one, and it's out in the open.
Sure. All I know is that the dean of the Defense Language School, Colonel Butler, went public to AP and said, three of these guys were in my classes. The guys that are on the news were in my classes. Something's going on. James Woods on the plane 2 weeks before. They're acting like they're hijacking, and he tells the FBI nothing's done.
I was on a flight. Without going into the details of what made me suspicious of these four men, although it would have been blatantly obvious to the most casual observer, I took it upon myself to go to the flight attendant and ask to speak to the pilot of the plane. Since then, I have identified for sure two of them as two of the terrorists.
Really?
Who actually were not on flight 11, but one was on flight 175 and one was on flight 77. And I've been told unofficially, not by the FBI, but by someone else in actually a higher level of government, believe it or not, just through a coincidence, through a mutual friend, that all four of them were terrorists involved.
Something was going on. And I know they had Israeli and Saudi intelligence and British intelligence following them and German intelligence.
Right.
And that all came out. The point is, this was clearly some giant multi-nation spy war game. Who knows exactly what it was? I'm just saying the stonewalling of there's nothing going on here, don't look at it. Take six of the 10 9/11 commissioners say that we were lied to and didn't get the official story, but then it's national security. All I'm saying is it should be looked at a lot deeper because it was the Hart-Rubin Commission, Gary Hart, that said, we're going to use this disaster for a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that anytime you have a crisis like that, people use it to their own ends. But I also think that, you know, a lot of this is just inevitable. I know a lot of people who work in national security, and while I disagree with them profoundly on a lot of things, most of them are like decent Americans.
No, I agree, but they're compartmentalized. Let me just show you.
They are compartmentalized.
Let me just show you finally. Have you seen Building 7 collapse, the Solomon Brothers building?
No.
I want to show you that right now.
Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Minutes ago, I was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing, and indeed it has. We'll probably find out more now about that from our correspondent, Jane Stanley. Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Details.
Was this after the collapse of the other two?
Yes, and she's saying it's fallen. Building 7.
Skyline, a symbol by the mayor, Rudy Giuliani, much earlier today because of, course, the dreadful collapse of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. But New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly.
They announced Building 7 fell 25 minutes before it did, and then lied and said this wasn't real, and then later admitted it. And then we have the up-close footage of CNN, police saying, get back, they're going to bring it down.
If you're in this building, it's coming down.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor.
I'm just confused about one thing and one thing only. Why World Trade Center 7 went down in the first place. I'm very confused about that. I know what I heard. I heard explosions. The explanation I got was it was the fuel oil tank. I'm an old boiler guy. If it was a fuel oil tank, it would have been one side of the building.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
I don't want to put you on the spot here and have the black helicopters come after you, Tucker Carlson, but what do you think of that?
You know, I'm not a structural engineer. I think it's upsetting to watch it. I remember when that happened. I mean, look, I have no idea. I don't know anything. I mean, I don't understand how buildings collapse. I don't understand how Building 7 collapsed. I find it really hard to believe that the U.S. government was in league with Al-Qaeda. I just don't believe. If evidence emerges that they were, I'll be the first one picketing the White House.
What do you think of the open funding of Al-Qaeda to blow up churches and things in Syria?
You're talking about arming the Syrian rebels? I think it's completely crazy.
All right, so that's Alex Jones offering the red pill to Tucker Carlson. Stay tuned. We're going to have the conclusion of that interview. We'll be right back.
Clean water at home, clean water at the office, clean water on the go. The Berkey Guy has a Berkey water filtration model for anywhere you are and one that fits any budget. Thousands of satisfied customers can't be wrong. For free shipping within the U.S., go to goberkey.com or call 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653. Helping thousands prepare since 2005, goberkey.com.
You've been hearing about the amazing benefits of Heart and Body Extract for many years. Now, hear from the co-founder.
My name is Tony Knudsen, and I am the co-founder of Heart and Body Extract. We've been in business for over 13 years now.
With thousands of satisfied customers who have experienced the amazing benefits but never experienced a price hike.
We've kept consistent pricing the whole entire time the company's been in business, and we'll continue to do so.
Call today for Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305, or visit hbextract.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formula. formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalist by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Corruption. I'm David Knight. I'm filling in for Alex Jones, and we're tight with this documentary interview style that we've got going between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. You just heard Alex offer him some evidence about 9/11 and Building 7. He offered the red pill. Let's see if he takes it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for this. We're going to have some calls on CPAC in the next hour. So all those people have been holding, Janet, Massachusetts, Clinton, Ohio, many other people, hang on. We're going to take your calls right after this last segment of this never-before-aired interview. Stay tuned.
And by the way, I think that it's tied to Benghazi. Why were there more than a dozen CIA officers and contractors in Benghazi? I mean, I think there's a lot we don't know about that. And it's a, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but I think we ought to be really wary of people calling themselves freedom fighters. Mm-hmm. We just don't know that much about the rest of the world is the truth. We really don't. We weigh in on these things and we don't understand the countries whose course we're influencing very well.
Well, I think we agree on one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they certainly use this, as Rahm Emanuel said, this crisis.
Yes.
They've not let it go to waste.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
They've used all these threats.
Of course.
And no one denies that there aren't radical Muslim extremist terrorists out there. But bottom line, that threat's being used to overthrow our republic and our free system. Why not just say, hey, you want to come after us? Come after us. We'll strike back at you, not fundamentally overthrow our system.
I totally agree. What happened? I like the Rudy Giuliani September 12th posture, which was, we're Americans. We have huevos. Like, we're not going to be intimidated or afraid. That's who we are. We're not going to cower behind concertina wire. And I wish I could opt out of the system. I'm comfortable with risk. I'd be willing to take more risk in my life if I could have more choices. I would.
Tucker Carlson, thank you so much for this in-depth interview. You've got courage coming over here to the studio. I think we've had a really good interview, and I appreciate you coming in and coming on the radio show. In closing, what are some of the top stories you think were most important versus the two or three stories that end up being the biggest thing that the DailyCaller.com has ever broken?
You have the same life where you're just constantly involved in news cycles. It's hard even to think about last week or next week. We broke a story yesterday about the VA destroying claims of returning veterans trying to get their benefits and destroying claims because they couldn't deal with the backlog, so they just flushed them down the toilet. I think it's a metaphor for the way government, in the end, when it gets too big, treats people like numbers and mistreats people in the end. But the NSA story, for me, is the biggest story of the year by far, the biggest story of the decade.
Because they lied about it, so they weren't doing it.
Reading my email is not going to make America safer. It only curtails my freedom, and it's scary.
Now it's come out, as you know, and we knew this years ago, that the government agencies are taking snapshots off the webcam of all sorts of people for blackmail material.
Well, I don't know anything about blackmail, but I do know that my tech guys, when we first started the Daily Caller, all put gaffer's tape over their cameras. And I remember saying, what are you, some kind of nutcase? Like, you think people are watching you? And they said, actually, people could commandeer your camera. I don't have masking tape on my computer yet.
Come on, you're on the White House enemies list.
I hope so.
No,
I'm trying hard.
What are you talking about? You got Media Matters that's run by them coming after you.
Yeah.
Grudge and me.
Let me just say, final thing, the one piece of good news is, as you pointed out a minute ago, these people may have bad intentions, but they are incompetent. And their incompetence is the one thing that keeps us safe.
Well, I used to always hear this incompetence theory, and I would just throw it completely out back when I had like 6-7 crew members. Now that I have like 40.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I know how the world works and all these kids. It's like, my God, it's hard to organize stuff even when you know what you're doing. So
exactly.
I hear what you're saying. Tucker Carlson, DailyCaller.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, I appreciate that. That was fun.
Right. Thanks a lot. All right, folks, that's it for this special edition of InfoWars Nightly News, a big in-depth talk with the man formerly known as Mr. Bowtie. Now he wears a Patagonia shirt.
Something like that.
Something like that. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central. And remember, if you're watching this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, you've been listening to an interview between Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson of the Daily Caller. First time it's ever aired, but you can now see it. If you missed any of that important interview, check it out on YouTube, Alex's channel.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.